Thanks for tuning in to the Boiler Express podcast. Join us each week as we dive into all things Purdue sports. You'll hear in-depth analysis of our previous and upcoming games, as well as interviews with players and people involved in the Purdue sports fandom. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and YouTube for our live stream shows as well.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another Boiler Express. Well, I guess this is more of a first, not a welcome back, but we're doing a little bit of a post-game show. We've been kind of MIA for a little bit, so we decided we wanted to hop on here after the game tonight and talk about the game. We were hoping to talk about a win, but unfortunately Purdue takes its first loss in Mackey in quite some time. I think it was, 26 games. They had a 26-game win streak. So Purdue takes its first loss. The bad stretches of play that they had, they also had some really good ones as well, and Ohio State was just able to edge it out there at the end with a questionable no call. I feel like that should have been a charge. I feel like Braden should have gotten the charge there at the end. But, Frank, what did you think?
It was a weird game. I feel like, and it's not in front of me here. Normally I'd have this information available, but I feel like Purdue's biggest lead was something around 16 or 18. At that time, I felt it's going to sound weird, but I felt like Purdue should have been up more because of how good we were playing defensively. I was a little concerned that, like, especially when they hit that three going into halftime to cut it to 11, Purdue's played so well defensively. I think at halftime, Ohio State was at something like 0.7 points per possession. And you want to be able to capitalize on that. But, you know, the offense was a little stagnant tonight. I got a comment here, led by 16. Yeah, it was either 16 or 18 was Purdue's biggest lead in the first half. And then things kind of flipped. I think they went on a 17-4 run. 17-2 to start the second half. And by they, I mean Ohio State. I'm seeing the comments come in here about the questionable calls.
And I'll agree that I think to the first comment there that I feel like Purdue also seemed kind of jet lagged, or it almost felt to me like even though they had the good lead in the first half, like you said, I feel like they could have had a better lead. It felt like they were almost comfortable with the lead that they had, and so they weren't really putting forth more effort. They were like, oh, we'll just try to keep it kind of here. I don't know. It seemed like, especially Braden, it just seemed like his legs were just kind of heavy.
Did. He did a lot of the lifting early. Especially in the second half when we were trying to, when Ohio State got up six or so, like there were a lot of shots that, from several players that looked like they were just forced. Purdue wasn't necessarily running the offense we're used to seeing. And I think, Fletcher was able to force some shots that were going in. TKR obviously had a great game from a scoring standpoint. Things were going in for him. Braden just wasn't hitting that mid-range jumper we've gotten so used to seeing him hit. And, not a whole lot of threes made tonight. And I think, Purdue kept going back to what was working, and that was Trey Kaufman-Wren. But yeah, only 9 threes attempted today in the game, 23 for Ohio State. So, we haven't talked about him yet, but Micah Parrish, it just got to the point where, he was 6-for-8 from three, but like there were two possessions in the second half where they didn't even run any offense. They just gave him the ball and he just like sat there for a second and shot a three and it went in. So, you can't defend that. People were complaining on Twitter, like, oh, terrible defense. And were there some defensive lapses for sure? But like, I don't know what you do in that scenario.
The refs were definitely questionable tonight. You never want to say that the refs cost you the game or anything like that. And I don't think that they did. I think that we also shot ourselves in the foot plenty to help us get to the point that we did tonight. But there were just some questionable no calls, like Caleb First had gotten a rebound and went up for it and just got completely hacked. No call. But then you could argue, well, Braden should have hit the layup first. So
Well, and you also could argue that Caleb Furse committed a flagrant when he got John Mobley in the eye in the first half too. So,
Okay. I didn't
yeah, I
see
mean,
that.
I'm, yeah, I mean, I think if they had gone and looked at it, they probably would have called a flagrant just the way we've seen flagrants called. But I'm, yeah, I tend to not lean into that argument too much around referees and, they cost us the game. But I felt like because, how many. So Ohio State committed 22 fouls, Purdue 17. But I feel like with that high number of fouls, it was just hard to get into a rhythm on either end for either
Yeah,
team.
there was a span in the second half, or maybe it was the first half, where it felt like every possession there was a foul being called on both sides. So, yeah, like you said, it was hard to get into a rhythm, hard to get things going. And I think that's really what kind of took Mackey Arena out of the game was that, the crowd couldn't get into it because there's always a stop in play or something being called to where like the crowd just couldn't get into it. So, yeah, I think there was a lot of things just working against Purdue tonight, unfortunately. You could say it was jet lag from being out on the West Coast last week. You could say the guys just maybe weren't as prepared as they should have been, or whatever. But yeah, just an unlucky game tonight.
Got a comment here from Ted says, if the refs cost you the game, you didn't do enough to take them out of the game. The team had the opportunity to win this on their own. Yeah, and
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
always my argument that you should never put yourself in a situation where you're relying on the official to make a call that determines the outcome of the game. And I often say that in response to Dan Hurley's outbursts.
Gosh.
It's like you shouldn't be tied in overtime against Colorado. Like that's your. That's the problem. It's not a questionable call on a rebound, but that's
What
how
was
I
it that
feel. But
he's
I do feel. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, what was it that he said tonight? Like, don't turn your back on me. I'm the best coach in the sport.
Yeah, he did say that. I read
Crazy.
his lips, and it was, I mean, it's all over Twitter, but yeah, it was pretty obvious that's what he said. But or he it kind of cut off at the last second, but he did say, I'm the best coach in the and you couldn't see what he said, but sport is probably what he said. Yeah, so this is the first home loss since what, 2022 they said, or 2023?
I think
2023.
23 was against IU was the last home loss too, so.
So what would you rather play Michigan being on this hot streak that we were on, or would you rather have this taste of reality and a little bit of a humbling moment like we just had before we go play Michigan on Friday night?
Well, I think that in my experience with this team, especially like Braden, anytime that we have a game that we shouldn't have, anytime we have a game where we don't play up to our potential, I feel like we come back the next game with a little bit of a vengeance. So I'm hoping to see that. I'm hoping to see Braden go off in the next game. So, I mean, obviously, it'd have been great to have an 8-game win streak, but I think that to. I also don't mind the loss either. I mean, it's the Big Ten. It's a chippy conference. Those things are going to happen. This team, although we've got a lot of experience, is also pretty young too. There's a lot of guys that do get minutes that are freshmen or or even coming back into playing a lot again. Like Caleb Furse, he basically got his minutes completely cut last year, and now he's in more of a prominent role. Didn't start out that way this year, but now he's kind of grown back into that. And so, I just think that there's a lot of room for growth in this team still. And so, it doesn't really bother me too much that we lost tonight. It sucks because, it's Mackey Arena, and I feel like a loss at home at Mackey just hurts a little bit more. So I'm cool with it either way, surprisingly. But I like our chances going into Michigan on Friday.
Oh, we got a comment here from Chris. So I'm we do we play Michigan at home, right? I just want to confirm that.
Okay, perfect.
Because we have the three home games in a row. So yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where like you look back at Texas A&M, you look back at Auburn, you look back at some of the other losses, and it's like, well, I genuinely think we're a better team because of it, because we got embarrassed at Marquette. We got embarrassed against Auburn. I mean, we got embarrassed at Penn State. The final score didn't indicate how close that game wasn't. But I think that this is just a nice humbling moment and a an opportunity for the players to understand what they need to do differently. And, you know, a lot of shots didn't go in. The defense was really good. I mean, there were a lot of possessions where the defense was great for 26 seconds and then just one lapse and they led to an open three. But I feel like, you know, this will be good. I feel like this will be good for Michigan, mm-hmm. but so purely hypothetical, like let's say things don't go Purdue's way Friday night. Is it panic time? Are we back to, you know, where we were as a fan base a month ago where, you know, we're not going to make the tournament or like, how
definitely
are you,
not.
Are you potentially
I don't think we're at all going to get to not making the tournament. I think that two losses at home back to back is like time to be a little concerned. But it's hard to also say that we should be concerned when we've also seen this team bounce back in such a way and go on a 7-game win streak when a lot of those games were away as well, I feel like, too. I don't think many of them were at Mackey. So, you know, and with how Coach Painter has just I feel like he's just continued to grow and into a really, I mean, an elite coach every single year. He just gets better and better and continues to shock fans and critics with how well he develops his teams over the year. And so I'd say it's a little concerning if we lose two games, especially because they're both at home. But I don't think it's the end of the world and that the sky is falling. And I think Chris is right, too. I think OSU had a lot of lucky things. Like a lot of the shots they threw up were like, you know, just that they were like those typical, like, oh, of course that would hit against Purdue.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and how fitting is it that, you know, Jakari Harris, you know, going 2-for-2 from three and, you know, being the first person to hit a three for Purdue when he hasn't, you know, started off the season extremely hot from three. Right. So that was really awesome to see. He made a lot of hustle plays tonight. It was really good on defense, at least in my opinion.
And that drive to the basket by CJ Cox in the first half was just beautiful. The
on the out-of-bounds play.
Yeah. No, not the out-of-bounds play.
The off the glass where Braden was in foul trouble.
Yeah, where he spun and hit the layup or the shot in traffic. That was crazy.
And Chris here in the comments makes a good point. With two guys hit the first three of their season, which is a real thing.
That is the Purdue way.
And then Micah Parrish, you know, went 6-for-8. Who was the John Mobley hit the one at the end of the game that really kind of iced the game with, you know, Fletcher Lawyer right in his face. There was a lot of that. I mean, right before halftime, Bruce Thornton hits a three. First play coming out of halftime, Jakari Harris, you know, trips over Bruce Thornton's foot, hits another three. And I mean, just all sorts of things that just fell in their favor. And by the end, Ohio State. So I don't know if this is a criticism. I guess just a question. Do you think Purdue should have taken more threes? Only 9 threes attempted in this game.
I mean, you know more about like what it looks like for someone to try to have plays ran for them, but I don't feel it. To me, it didn't look like they tried to run a lot for Fletcher, and maybe that was in like a scouting report, but it didn't look like there was a whole lot being ran for Fletch to like get an open three.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the game plan had to be to try to get the ball inside, whether that was through Trey Kaufman run or through the guards, but just looking here.
And also I feel Purdue, like Ohio State's record may not be totally indicative of how they are as a team because they've had like 5 games within a possession, the last 5 or something like that.
So not last season for Purdue, but the previous season where Purdue won so many one possession games. And that was the thing that concerned me about that team is, you know, Purdue was a coin flip away from losing a lot of the games they were in. And Ohio State's just been unfortunately on the bad end of it. They do have like a 25 plus point win against Kentucky this season. I mean, they're top 30 in net. And by the end of the season, this could be a Q1 game for a Q1 loss for Purdue. As of right now, it's a Q2 loss. But Purdue took 14 mid-range shots, which is 26% of their shots were mid-ranges tonight, which is very high.
And I almost feel like Braden's starting to favor that mid-range like fadeaway floater than like driving to the basket.
Yeah, I mean, I think one kind of sets up the other. the ability to kind of stop and hit that fadeaway, and it kind of the people start defending that, and then he'll drive by them and get to the basket. But I mean, there were
Yeah,
just
that's true.
a lot of baskets attempted at the rim in the second half that didn't go in. There were a lot of contact on a lot of those shots, and I guess that there weren't any fouls, so the defense was really good. But just looking, I mean, so Purdue was 1 for 7 above the break on threes, 2 for 2 in the corners. But I just think that that's really interesting to only shoot 9 threes. I
Was
mean,
the 2 for 2, were those both by Jacari?
both by Jakari Harris, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just think that, obviously Purdue was doing well getting the ball inside, but one could argue they should have maybe gotten it outside a little bit more, but they were,
Right.
they scored 70 points with a getting the ball inside primarily, so can't complain too much. But are you concerned about Purdue's shooting in the last few games? Just hasn't been as sharp as what we've normally seen this season.
Well, but I feel like it's also it's like it's not been as sharp, but I also feel like it's common for this team to go through those like slouches
Kind of
of
ups and
like they have a
downs.
few games of like, it's a struggle, but we push through and our defense pushed us through and got us the win. And then there's, we beat Nebraska 104 to 68. So it's almost like a coin flip of which Purdue team we're gonna get, because I mean, heck, the we won. Was it 5 or 6 games in a row by 10 or more points? Coming into, I mean, besides the Oregon game, we won that by 9, I think. But I mean, we were winning games by, 10 plus there for a minute, even not technically shooting well, too. So I'm not 100. I'm not super concerned about it. I do think that it could get us into some trouble later down the road, but. I mean, also our defense has been incredible. They've improved so much defensively as the year's gone on.
I think this time a month ago, Purdue was ranked 70 something defensively, and I'm sure we're going to drop now. But we're top 20 going into this game, which is insane. And I think the thing that sticks out a lot is when you look at turnovers, Ohio State had 18 to Purdue's 11. So that's seven more
Yeah.
times that Purdue had an opportunity to shoot the ball. And Ohio State had 22 fouls to Purdue's 17. I mean, that's just what a game by Ohio State, honestly. There's just that's
And it's crazy too that the foul difference was that they had more, because it definitely didn't feel like that. It felt like Purdue had more watching the game.
yeah, I felt like Purdue's fouls were really impactful. In the first half, obviously, like Braden was kind of sparse in his minutes because he had picked up those two early fouls. And what did you think about CJ Cox? Did you think he looked good? Like, I mean, from a floor general standpoint, I felt like he looked very confident and poised, in my opinion.
Yeah, I love that. I think Russ was talking about in our thread. I love that, when Braden got out of the game early in the first half due to his foul, his two fouls, it felt like CJ just stepped right in. Didn't feel like there was a whole lot of hesitation on his end. I feel like he ran the offense pretty well. So, yeah, absolutely.
So in that, and I'm just looking here at the lineup chart, in that stretch where Braden Smith was in foul trouble and CJ Cox was running point, Purdue was +6. So they gained 6 points at that point. In fact, CJ Cox is plus minus, which don't read into too much of that, but it's +7 on the game. So that's impressive. He did a really good job. And you talked about that kind of kiss off the glass he got for an and one, and that cut to the basket on the baseline play. And right about 3 quarters of the way through the first half, there was a visible change from Ohio State in terms of how they tried to guard. I felt like they were a lot more physical. They were really trying to blow up ball screens. They're really pressuring the ball. They weren't being so aggressive on their hedges. They were kind of sinking back a little bit, but they were being really aggressive off ball. And I felt like Purdue never really adjusted to that. They were running, kind of the same level of offense that they were before that.
I just had this thought pop into my head. So this Ohio State team last year beat Purdue. I think it was at Ohio State. And then this year they come into Mackey and they beat Purdue. This is a huge stretch This is probably going to sound ridiculous, but do you think that what's their coach's name? Diebler?
Jake Diebler.
Jake Diebler. Do you think that it's possible that he becomes like a thorn in Painter's side, kind of like Chris Beard there for a little bit?
He could. I mean, if you remember last season, I believe the game where he beat Purdue, Jake Diebler beat Purdue, was his first game as interim. At the time, he was interim head coach. Because they had just fired Chris Holtmann and he was stepping in as interim. He ended up getting the job full time, obviously, but I believe that was his first game. But this is, we've had several games now with Ohio State that just come down to the wire. I mean, the way tonight's game did. We had the Jaden Ivey game where the play just fell apart and he ended up taking the like contested fadeaway three that went in. Then there was the play where we talked about it when Kyle Charters was on the show, but Purdue was down two with like 8 seconds to go, and Ethan Morton got the steal on the inbound at Ohio
Beautiful game.
State, and yeah, and Braden hit the three to win it. Then last year's game, obviously, that we were, I think Purdue was ranked number one at the time. Purdue was definitely top three, and went into Ohio State and lost, and in tonight's game. So, yeah, I'll be curious to see what I believe it's the only time Purdue plays Ohio State this year, but yeah,
Yeah, I think
it's
the commentator said too that Ohio State's the only team in the Big Ten that Matt Painter has a losing record against. So I think he's 16-21 now against Ohio State.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that was front loaded too, because when Painter
Probably.
first took over, Ohio State was a juggernaut there for a while. So, yeah, that's impressive though. That's really impressive. But did you see the stuff on Twitter about, the student section not being full?
I actually
I was
didn't. So
seeing.
I'm actually doing like a social media fast or whatever you want to call it. So I haven't been
Oh,
on
good for you.
Twitter.
Good for you.
I haven't
Good
been
for
on
you.
Twitter since January 13th.
Yeah. Well, if you don't mind me talking about it,
Yeah, of course.
there were people saying that the student section wasn't completely full and they were mad about it. I know it's like -2 degrees in West Lafayette right now, but I mean, I remember walking to games and during the polar vortex. And not that, like the youngins, or whatnot. I'm not
Back in
trying to
my
be that
day.
person. Yeah. But I don't know. Does that disappoint you at all, or is it just
Yeah, I mean,
students
if
being
that's
students?
true, if there were empty seats in the student sections or any empty seats at all, I mean, you don't ex like it's Mackey Arena. You expect, especially when it's Mackey Arena, the school's back in session, it's a conference game, you expect a packed house, whether we're playing a really good I'm trying to think of another, like a really good Michigan State team, or if we're playing, Rutgers or whatever at home, you expect the place to be jam-packed. Especially when it's a close game like that too. I don't know if like it were they saying that it was like empty the whole time or that like students started to leave.
No, they said that they didn't show up, and there were some people saying that they tried to sell tickets on StubHub for dirt cheap and they didn't end up selling. And
Oh, dang.
so I wonder if this is one of those games that was sold out, but the attendance wasn't at
Yeah.
100%.
That's weird, though,
I mean,
because I
yeah.
mean, I get the weather and all that stuff, but come on. Smack
Yeah,
Urena.
-2 degrees is tough. That's where it gets painful. At
Yeah, because I'm sure
least
there's
for
probably
me.
the wind chill is probably even worse.
Yeah, it was probably if Chris is still in the comments, I'd love to know. It's probably -10, -15, or something like that. But yeah, I know they'll be packed on Saturday. But that's
Yeah, I'm
how
looking
spoiled are
forward.
we though? Like as a fan base, because I was watching UConn before Purdue, and it was shocking to see that arena like halfway full.
Well,
You
even
know,
like
for a
Oregon's
conference
arena
game.
wasn't that great either. And that was their first
Yeah.
sellout, I think, this year, is what they said during the game, is like their first sellout or something.
It
And
didn't look like a sellout on TV.
yeah, and a lot of those were Purdue fans too. I mean, not a
Well,
lot, as in like a majority of the crowd, but a good handful of them were Purdue fans.
so going back and watching the Oregon game, I had some family at my house, so we had the volume down pretty low. But I went back and rewatched it. Could you hear the students behind the announcers the whole time? It almost made the game unwatchable, in my opinion, because they were just
I mean,
screaming as loud as they could.
I was out and about like doing stuff, so I had the game on my phone.
Okay.
So maybe I wasn't paying attention, but I don't feel like I heard the students that much at all.
They were yelling to like give the ball to certain players for Purdue, like, and it'd be like
Jeez.
whoever missed the shot last, you know. So TKR missed a little jump hook, and they're like, give the ball to number four, like just
Yeah,
screaming as
please
loud as they
do.
can. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. How'd that work out for you? Yeah, it's like
Yeah.
20 points.
I'm
So.
excited for the Michigan game, though. I'm excited for that matchup with TKR and what's his name? Vlad something?
Vlad Golden, Danny Wolf. I mean, take your pick. They're starting 2 7-footers. So,
But they're
you know,
just tall
it's
anyway, so it's not going to be that big of a deal.
yeah. They're not. They have no skill at all. It's just height. That's it. Yeah, that'll be a fun game. And you know, Michigan's really good. They have a really good resume. They've got some really, really good players, and they've got a really good coach. So they're gonna bring it, and Purdue's gonna need to be on their Purdue's gonna need to be on their A game. We got a question here. Is that Braden Smith on the right?
Is that me?
I assume it's the beard
Oh,
is the question.
that's
Yeah.
funny. No, I wish I
Yeah.
had it. My beard's not as groomed as Braden's is. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, Braden probably has to spend some money to keep his beard looking that nice. Like I'm letting it grow, and it's a lot of work. It's a whole lot of work, you know,
Yeah,
to keep it
I do
looking
like the
nice.
whole. I didn't do it today, but I usually have like a whole regimen of like, I have like beard shampoo when I'm in the shower. And then I'll get out and I'll put like oil underneath the beard at like the roots of it, and then I'll do like a balm on top of it to just try to keep it all nice and but it doesn't
We
stay
need
that way for
like
very
a
long.
beard product sponsor. That's what we need to go
Yeah,
after
that'd be
next.
awesome.
Well, unless there's anything else, we can wrap this post game up and look forward to Michigan, and get back on our regular schedule. These Tuesday night games can cut into that, and having the holidays fall on
I know. I can't
Tuesdays
believe Purdue
made it
basketball
tough.
doesn't schedule around us better.
Yeah, they should. Yeah, they should. Well, as we continue to grow and get bigger, I'm sure they will. They'll start
Right,
doing that. Yeah.
absolutely. But yeah, the sky's not falling if anybody thinks that, which I haven't, again, I'm not on social media right now, so I don't know if Twitter feels like that, but the comments didn't seem like that anyway from the few that we had tonight. So the sky's not falling. Purdue's going to bounce back Friday, and it's going to be a good game. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm excited for the post game matchup between TKR and Vlad and Danny Wolf. So, should be some fun stuff to see. And yeah, it'll be a good one. So boiler up, hammer down, and we'll see you guys next week.